Let me do my giveaways first before we start tonight. Over here on the table to my right and your left, and back here on this table back here, are some books and cassettes that I'd love to sell you, but I know you wouldn't buy them. So I'm going to give them to you. The book is entitled Show and Then Tell, Presenting the Gospel Through Daily Encounters. It's got 100 stories of ordinary people, how they share Christ where they live, work, and play. It starts out with a story of a young lady that worked for us a number of years ago and that came in one afternoon and told my brother and I really enjoyed working for you. My brother, the mayor in Oklahoma City, she said, I really enjoyed working for you. It's been a great experience, but I just wanted to tell you before I took my life this afternoon what you all have meant to me as an employer. So she was ready to commit suicide. Starts with that story, ends with the story of a young 15-year-old girl named Marcy who was on a mission trip and gave her life in an accident on a mission trip a couple of years ago here in Oklahoma City. She was in San Antonio, Texas, heading to Mexico, and she had written in her diary for a class, for her English class in the public school, and she said, the desire of my life is to show and then tell the love of Jesus Christ in Matamoros, Mexico. She never got there. She had an accident before she got there and died in the accident, but her story is in the book, and 98 other stories. Then also on the table here, are several cassettes, and I found that as I speak to, I mainly speak to business leaders, and I get to speak down here every year or so. I speak to a number of other college students, but as I speak to leaders across the country, I found that a lot of times what I say is a fairly different message, particularly about the workplace, and they'd like to kind of understand it and hear it and have a cassette that they can give to a friend. So there are some cassettes. Some of these are Visualizing Your World from God's Point of View, Lordship, Choosing God's Best for Your Life, the Word of God, and those kind of things. And you're welcome to pick up two or three of those off the table. And then there's some 3x5 cards that you were given when you came in, or given on your seat there. And these are for you to write a prayer request. And if you'll pick that up right now and put it up there with a piece of paper, and as the Holy Spirit leads you to jot down a thought over the next few minutes, if you'll just jot down a prayer request on that card. A number of you have heard me speak here before, but I've just tried to make a practice most of the time. Haven't done it as much this year. Our life's kind of been in turmoil, but write down a prayer request on there, and then I will, you can put it right up here on the podium at the end of tonight, or you can hand it to me. If you'll put your name and address on the other side, I'll drop you a line in the mail 2 or 3 months from now and tell you that I've prayed for you, and I'd like the privilege of praying for you over the next 60 or 90 days. Now, don't write down some Sunday school request like, some general thing like, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. All of us want to do that. But write down what's really bugging you, what gets your worry time. A lot of people from the BSU have prayed for even their date life, and I've even prayed about that. Amazing things have happened. So just you put it down, and I'll pray. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for this tonight. You know that a number of us have had difficult days today. You know what my day has been like. And so, Lord, I need your strength. I need the strength of your Spirit as we spend these few minutes together. And I just pray that as we talk about, Father, what you did in your Son, Jesus Christ, here on this earth, and what you want to do in each of these lives, I pray that you'll make your Scriptures come alive and be very plain, and that we might have a good time worshiping you tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. On your yellow or golden sheet is a sheet entitled, What Did Jesus Do? How many have heard me speak here before or another place? Let me see your hands to see what kind of audience I have. Okay, maybe that's a third of you. That's good. You won't have heard this tonight, but I just want to know what I'm speaking to here. How many of you have ever worn the little bracelets WWJD? Has anyone ever worn that on your hands? Okay, before? WWJD. What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? There was a book written in 1896 by a pastor, and the book was entitled In His Steps. And in that question, in that book, a number of people in this community asked the question, what would Jesus do? If he were to walk on the earth today and live my life, what would Jesus do? Well, tonight I want to talk to you about what would Jesus do if he were in your shoes as you graduate from college in the next few years and as you move into the workplace. Now, let me see the hands of those who, as of right now, intend to either be a pastor or a missionary or maybe a BSU staff. Let me see your hands for those of you who are going to do that. Okay, now let me see the hands of those of you who are going to do something in the workplace other than a vocational job, vocational service. Let me see your hands. The rest of you are not going to work. Let me see the hands of all of you who intend to work, not for a Christian organization when you get out of school. Let me see your hands. Okay, good. Now, let me just explain something to you. I'll set that down. Whoa. All of you that raised your hands, whether you're going to work as a pastor or a missionary to China, or whether you're going to work on BSU staff and work with students, whether you're going to be an engineer, whether you're going to be a business person, whether you're going to be a medical person, a doctor, a banker, whatever you decide to do, all of us have been called by Jesus Christ to be in full-time service for Him. The only difference is where your paycheck comes from. So many people really believe that if you're really spiritual, then you've got to be a missionary to China. And God's going to send some of you tonight, as the young lady talked about. I hope that many of you will take the opportunity to go overseas on a summer trip. Some of you will go as full-time missionaries after you graduate from college. But most of us are going to go to the workplace. And the question is, what can we do in the workplace to represent Jesus Christ? And so I want to talk to you about tonight, what did Jesus do? Because what Jesus did is what we're to be about in the workplace, in our homes, or whatever. And I found listed here on your page are five different things that I believe that Jesus did. I've looked through scriptures and I've read the Gospels over and over again, and I've asked myself as a businessman, what did Jesus do? Because that's what I'm supposed to be about. I've been a business person in the business community for the last 30 years. In fact, now I've worked with CEOs and business leaders for a number of years, and a few months ago I took a position that I do part-time and still in the business world, where I lead CEOs in an organization called Fellowship of Companies for Christ International. We have groups of CEOs, men and women who own and run companies, meeting for Bible study, and they meet together once a week in cities across the United States. And so I spend a lot of my time with business leaders, and I'm active involved in several businesses, most of which this year are losing money. And so my question in my life is, what did Jesus do? Because whatever He did is what I'm to be about. The first thing that Jesus did is talked about in Mark chapter 1, and it's right there at the top of your page. We see that Jesus told everyone to respond to the good news. Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time has come at last. The kingdom of God has arrived. You must change your hearts and your minds and believe the good news." And later on it says, when He called the disciples, it says, at once they dropped their nets and they followed Him. And then in Mark 16, in the last of that gospel, it said, Jesus said, "You must go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The first thing that Jesus did is that He told everyone. And you and I, as men and women, in the workplace, in our communities, on the college campus, the first thing that Jesus asked us to do is to tell everyone about Him. Now, why do we do that? We do that because all of us have been called as full-time ambassadors for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20 says that all of us are ambassadors for Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes, "So naturally we proclaim Christ. We warn everyone we meet." That's evangelism. "We teach everyone we can." That's discipleship. All that we know about Him. "So that if possible," the Bible says, "that we may bring every person up to their full maturity in Christ Jesus." That's what I'm working at, Paul said, all the time, with all the strength that God gives me. You and I are to be about the same thing that Jesus did, and that's to tell everyone about Him. Well, let me ask you, what are we to do? What are we to do that? If we're to tell everyone about Him, what do we need to do? Well, there's two things you need to do. First of all, what you have to do is focus on Jesus Christ. You need to love God. Jesus said all the commandments are wrapped up in two things. Number one, love God, and number two, love people. Have you ever tried to love people before? Have you ever tried to love your roommate? Some people, I don't know about you, but my experience is a lot of people are unlovable. And Jesus says that Jesus says we're supposed to love them anyway. And I found that I can't love them because I have problems with people. I even have problems with my wife sometimes. She has a lot of problems with me, but I'm to love her anyway. And I'm to love my children and my grandchildren, and I'm to love even the people that I disagree with in the workplace or my neighbor. In fact, we had a neighbor that I had a lot of disagreements with, and finally he died last year, and so I don't have to bother about his problems anymore, but he was really a guy that was hard to love. And I believe he died, and we had some opportunities to share Christ with him. I don't think he ever trusted Christ. But God tells me to love him anyway. And God wants you to love fellow students, and he wants you to love fellow co-workers, even people that are unlovable. So how can we do that? We can't do that unless we love God first, and then we love others. Jesus was focused on God the Father, and as he loved the Father, the God, the Father, comes through him as he loved others. He faced the same temptations and the same problems that you and I did. So what we're to do is to love God and love people. But here's what most people don't understand. Do y'all realize that we're to do that not just in China this summer and not just on the campus when we're doing evangelism, but we're to do that 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As a business person, I'm to love people where I am. I'm to love people where I live, where I work, and where I play. The biggest problem I find when you get out of college and you join a church and you become like the rest of us old people, and every year, I don't know if I get older, but certainly you get younger, and I've been coming here for about 20 years, and I say, Lord, you know, I'm an old 56-year-old gray-headed guy, and I keep coming. Every year they look younger, but what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to be involved in people's life everywhere we are. And what you're going to do, for those of you who don't go on the church staff somewhere or go to be a missionary someplace, but you have a passion for Jesus Christ, you're going to get out there in the workplace and you're going to segment your life. This is my family life. This is my work life. This is my church life. And you segment your life. The only problem with that is I found that it doesn't work, because Jesus Christ will not let us live a compartmentalized life. And so what I found is I didn't have enough time, but I had to use my work life, my family life, my community life, and even my church life all integrated together. And I realized that Jesus Christ, my major ministry, your major ministry outside of your family, will be where you work, because that's where you spend the most time. And that's why you need to tell people about Jesus Christ where you live and where you work and where you play. So Jesus has called us to represent him wherever he places us. But how do we do this about representing Christ? How do we tell everyone about Jesus? We tell about this, a lot of them, in the stories in this book. Now, guys, girls love to read stories. Guys, I know when I talk to business guys, that the women will read this book and read the stories, but guys will listen to the cassette. But about 30 minutes is about all they'll do at a time, and most of them will not read stories. But women love stories. But you know what? The secret to telling people about Christ, the secret is that there's something that you need to do that in order, if you will do this, I promise you that you'll have opportunities to share Christ with others. You've got to love them, but there's one thing that you can do that I promise you that if you do it as a business person, as a person in college, as a person in your community, if you do this one thing, I promise you that you'll have opportunities to share Christ. You're not going to like what it is because it's hard to do. But if you do it, I promise you, if you do this one thing, if you do it, I promise you that people will listen to the gospel. And you know what it is? It's what Jesus said. We have to serve people. You see, I've never found a person yet that rejected the good news of Jesus Christ. If I love them and serve them, they will not reject you having an opportunity to serve them. They may not accept Christ, but they will listen to you because you have loved them and served them. Did you know that people today are not giving, most of them grow up in families where they don't get love, and most of them have friendships which are fake. And so therefore, they're looking for people who will genuinely love them, particularly in the workplace. If you're in the workplace and you're looking at the person at the next desk or whatever kind of job you have, did you realize that as you love people and you love them where you are 24/7 and you serve them as you love and serve people, here's what happens. Eventually, they have a crisis in their life. And I sold a business that I owned for a number of years. I used to speak at the BSU, and I'll give you the same invitation. I'll give you one of my business cards that are over there on the table. They'll be in the boxes, and you can pick this up, or it's on the back of the cassette. And I always offer to take the students to lunch. If you're going out in the business community, you want to have lunch with me, we can talk about representing Christ in the marketplace. And usually one or two or three students take me up on that each time I come down here to speak. But the fact of the matter is that I've learned that if you serve people, they will listen to you, as I said. And what I've found is they will listen to you because they respect your life and what you've done. When I sold this business a few years ago, I remember the last couple of years after I sold it, I sold the business, I continued as CEOs for several years. Within the last few months that I was there, several people came into my office and they had a crisis in their life and they said, Kent, would you pray for me? And so I'd pray for them right there. And then they'd share a crisis with me and I'd reach over and close the door and simply lead that person to Christ. Now, how long had I been their friend? 5 years? 7 years? 10 years? Are you patient? Are you patient enough in the workplace, in your community, in your family? Are you patient enough to spend 5 years or 7 years of loving and serving people and never really have them open to the gospel? But that's when it would finally happen. And here's the crisis in a person's life. They lose their job. They have poor health. They have a death in the family. They go through marital problems. They have a problem with a teenager on drugs or that type of thing. They have these crises in their life. And when they have the crisis, who are they going to go to? Your friends are going to go to the people they know that what? Love them and care enough about them to serve them. And that's when you tell them about Jesus. Today's people in today's generation are not willing to just have them grab them by the collar and say, let me tell you about a person that changed my life. They want to know that we're authentic. And so particularly in the workplace, if they're working with you every day, they check you out first. And then when do we do it? Jesus told everyone the good news. You may say, I've got to wait till I've had a training course at the BSU. I've got to wait till I graduate. I've got to wait till I become experienced, Kent, like you are. No. Jesus says that the time is now. Now's the time to tell people. And Jesus said we need to invest our life in people now. There was a friend of mine, Brian Banks, who was a student here at the University of Oklahoma, and about 20 years ago, he turned 40 this last year, Max. 20 years ago, he was a student here at the BSU. And I was speaking here 20 years ago. Max, that means I'd have been 36 years of age. And I gave the same offer that I'm giving tonight. And Brian was in a family business. He was a junior, senior here at OU. And he called me up and he said, Ken, I'd like to go to lunch with you. And he came up and he brought a friend, a guy with him, and we had lunch together. And after that time, he said a few months later, he said, well, I'll call you back again. And so every 6 months to a year, Brian would call me, and I didn't keep a track with him. He kept track with me, and he'd call me and we'd have lunch together again. And we developed a relationship over a 10 or 15 year period, all because I'd spoken here at the BSU. And about 6 or 7 years ago, he came to me one day and he said, I'd like for you to read this book. And he gave me a book and I said, what do I do? He said, read it and come back next week and we'll talk. And so I read the book and came back the next week and I said, what do I do now? He said, I want you to mentor me. I said, okay, what does that mean? He said, well, you just show up and I'll tell you what to talk about and how to help me. And it may be on my family, my finances, running my business, whatever it is. He said, I just want you to mentor me. So we got together every Tuesday morning from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, every Tuesday morning for the next 2 to 3 years. And then when I sold my business, 6 months later, he sold his business. And then when I had an opportunity to start a new business and I didn't want to really run the thing, I was involved in some other ministry and business things, I said, Brian, you're getting out of your business in the next year. So I said, whenever you can get out of it, if you'll just come, I'd like for you to come and be in business with me and run this business for me. And so we'd been in a mentoring relationship, and so after a few months, he talked to his employer, and they actually let him get out of his position a year early and said, we'll pay you for the next year, but you've done such a good job, we'll pay you, and then go ahead and take the job. I wish I'd have gotten that deal, but he got paid for me and from the other guy. But anyway, so Brian began, I'd invested my life in him, and a number of other guys had invested their life in Brian, and Brian began to invest his life in another businessman, a guy who had made a lot of money and made several million dollars before he was 30 years of age and thought success was really the way to go. He was a believer, but he really wanted to walk closer to Christ, and Brian invested in his life. And for his 40th birthday, this guy brought into Brian a large apple tree. He brought it into the party, and he brought in this tree and had all this stuff around it, you know, sod and everything. And this tree was about 6 foot tall, and he brought it in, and he set it in the front room of Brian's house. And he said, "What is this?" He said, "It's an apple tree. That should be outside." No, he said, "It needs to be right here tonight." And then he gave him a little note, and the guy gave him a note, and on the note it said this. He said, "You can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed." He said, "Thank you for investing your life in me." You see, today you need to be investing your life in other people, because you don't know how many apples are going to be in that seed. One seed can plant a tree which can produce many apples, which can produce more apple trees, which can produce more apples. And you need to be investing your life in people today, not only telling them about Jesus, but investing your life in people. Now, what were the other things that Jesus did? And let me cover those quickly for you. Number two, Jesus, the Bible says, taught many to understand God's principles. The vast crowd heard this with great delight, and Jesus continued with his teaching. Let me just say this to you. All of us need to be involved in situations like this. And when you go, when you graduate from this campus and you go back to your home community or you move to another city, you're going to look for a church that's just like here, and you're probably not going to find one just like here. But you need to be involved constantly in a teaching situation where you sit under a pastor who will teach the Word of God. Jesus not only told everyone, but he taught many. And I want you to take every opportunity to teach others. The best thing that you can do is be forced to learn to get in the Scriptures every week. And so as a business leader, the best thing that ever happened to me when I was in my 20s is I taught a Sunday school class. I encourage you to get in a situation where you teach others, be them college students or teenagers or other adults. Get in a situation where you not only tell everyone about Jesus Christ, but you teach many. And then, as you teach many, you'll find some that want to go further in their life. And Jesus not only told everyone and taught many, but what's the third thing he does? The Bible said that he trained some. The Bible says that he took the 70 and he sent them out two by two, and he took the 12 and he trained the 12 for 3 years. And you need to be involved, whether you're in the workplace or wherever you are. You need for the rest of your life to be involved in doing what Jesus did. And Jesus told everyone, taught many, but he trained some. For the rest of your life, you need to be involved in a small group. Now, on Tuesday mornings at 6:30 in the morning, I meet with five other businessmen. They're all 30 years of age. I've been doing that for the last 30 years. For 28 probably or 29 out of 30 years, I've always been in a small group. Why? Because I don't trust myself to not do that, to not have that accountability and praying with other men and being in that kind of a group. And get in a group of men or a group of women or a group of couples, but always be involved in a small group, because that's where change takes place. Change doesn't take place in a big group like this. The most that I can hope to do tonight is to encourage you in some areas in your life, but change takes place in a small group, and it doesn't quit when you leave the college campus. The best thing that's happened to me is that I've been involved in a small group with others. Jesus told everyone, he taught many, but he trained some. He trained the 12. He trained the 70. For the rest of your life, you need to be involved in that. And then number four, what did Jesus do? He told everyone, he taught many, he trained some, but he equipped a few. Now, you have that Sunday school class, or you have that Bible study at your church or in your neighborhood or maybe in the workplace, but you have a number of people that are in the large group. Some of those are interested in the small group, and then out of that small group, you're always looking for that one person that wants to go further in their life, because that's when you make a difference in a person's life, when you get them one-on-one or one-on-two or one-on-three. Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Now, if he did that today, we'd have said, well, he's playing favorites. Well, Jesus decided that he wanted to have a bigger investment in their lives, in Peter, James, and John. And often, like the Mount of Transfiguration, or when Jesus was in the garden the last night, he had the 12 at the Last Supper, and then Judas left, he had the 11, he took them in the garden, and then he said, Peter, James, and John, you come with me. And he went a little further. And then he left them there, and then he went a little further. And I've always wanted to have those people who are more interested in spiritual things. Right now we have two young guys that are 30 years of age in our office that we're giving free office space to. just because Brian and I want to have an emphasis in their lives. And they'll come in and ask me questions about business or about spiritual things or about their family, and I want to be constantly investing in another person's life. So Jesus, He told everyone the good news. He taught many, He trained some, but He equipped a few. For the rest of your life, you need to be equipping a few. Every person needs to have a Paul, someone that mentors their life. I've had a number of mentors in my life, 10 or 12 men that have invested in my life, had dramatic impacts in my life. Some I never spent much time with, but had a lot of impact in my life. But everyone needs a Paul. They need a Timothy that they can pour their life into. And then they need a Barnabas, someone who can be their encourager. And I've got a couple of guys like that. One of them is in Grand Rapids, Michigan today, one of my closest friends. His wife has breast cancer, and that spread throughout her body. And he's one of my closest friends. And when you get in a crisis like that, you need to have some men and women who care about your soul. So you need to equip a few. Jesus told everyone, taught many, trained some, but He equipped a few. But then remember, when Jesus was in the garden, and He had the 12, and then He took apart the 3, and it said He left Peter, James, and John, and went a little further, and He fell on his face before the Father, and He prayed to the Father, and He said, "Lord, if it be Your will, take this cup from me." Let me tell you that the most tremendous impact that I've had as a business leader has not been speaking to large crowds, which I've done all over the United States with business leaders, and I've spoken in 16 different seminaries. I've spoken to college campuses. I've spoken in churches across the country. But when I get to heaven, that's not going to be the greatest emphasis of God of being able to use me as a business person. The thing that God has been able to use in my life is when people watch Jesus Christ in me. You see, I've gone through some difficult times in business in the last couple of years, and people are watching how I react during those times. There's people that work at the next desk to me. There's competitors that would watch how I react. There's people who are my customers or my suppliers, or there's people who my banker just had 5 bypass surgery last week. He's a believer. But he's watched my life for 20 years and to see, will I really do what I say I want to do in the Scriptures? There's my accountant whom I deal with her on a regular basis, and she's watched me as I go through the good times and through the bad times. And she said, does his Christian testimony of what he really believes, does that come true in the way he handles his finances and with honesty and with integrity? See, with the Enron crisis and with all the crisis that we've had with WorldCom and Enron and all the publicly owned companies today, men and women in the business community where I am are looking for someone that will walk their talk, and they're going to look at their life. And so regardless of how much I say on the street corner or speak in a church or in a large crowd like this, or even in a small group, those people are looking to see, what do I do day by day? And the disciples, I believe, why He called them apart is so that Peter and James and John could hear what Jesus said to the Father, and they could watch His life. In the greatest trial of His life, Jesus wanted them to be there so they can see what His life meant to Him. And I would encourage you that all of us need to be involved in telling everyone about Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, we need to tell everyone about Christ, but we need to teach many, but we need to train some. We need to equip a few, but probably the most important impact that you're going to have in your life are for those that are right around you. Your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, your neighbor, and probably the man or woman at the next desk. Those are going to be the people. Do you know that 2.5 years after I've left the firm that I led for 28 years, people still call me on the phone. They want to have lunch together. They want to come by for advice. They want to tell me about what's happened in their family because we had a bond, a relationship, and that relationship was important. Some of them are believers. Some of them are not believers. Some of them don't know Jesus Christ. And even after 15 years, they're still trying to have a relationship with me so that I have opportunities to share Christ with them. Do you know that people are watching your life every day? They're watching it on this campus. They're watching you in the dorm. They're watching you in your apartment. They're watching you in your family. Your parents are watching you. Your brothers and sisters are watching you. Men and women are watching you and saying, Is this Christianity, is this life with Christ that they're talking about, is it real? And the major impact that you're going to have on people's lives probably is not going to be traveling to China, as great of impact as that could be. It's probably not going to be doing things in your church, as great as that can be. It's probably not going to be doing some ministry on the college campus. The greatest impact is probably from the guy or the gal that's watching you in the workplace or in the dorm or wherever it is and saying, is that real? Because in the Enron thing, we found a bunch of people that were very successful, but their lives were not have integrity. And so it broke the firm apart and it broke their lives apart. What did Jesus do? Jesus told everyone the good news. He taught many. He trained some. He equipped a few. Always be equipping a few. But finally, he modeled a surrendered life. And if you look on your other page, it just shows what that looks like in a cone. That the atmosphere of change, we can have tonight an atmosphere of change in a large group. But if we're going to have a likelihood of change, we need to get in a small group. And then in an inner circle, if you have just two or three, there's a tendency to change. But then as we get with alone with God, God forces us to change because God wants to see what our will is and will we follow Him or not. And the problem is that churches today have so structured that we've structured relationships out of there. So in a large group, you have a lot of structure. It takes a lot of planning to get a large group together like this. But as you get in a small group, you have less structure, and then two or three is less structure. And as the structure goes down, the relationships go up. And people today are looking for someone with genuine relationships. In the workplace today, it's not going to be what your degree is, I promise you. That's not what's going to make you successful. It's not even going to be who you know. It's not going to be what you know. It's not even going to be how good you are doing it. The key to being successful in the workplace is having relationships with people who have confidence in you. Because the person that has relationships with people and they build up trust, that person will be successful in whatever they do. It's about relationships. It's about community. It's about trust. And so I would just encourage you tonight that as you're on the college campus and as many of you will go out and join me in the workplace, with thousands of other believers, that your biggest platform for ministry may not be from the pulpit in your church or from the mission place, but the biggest platform that you'll have for ministry for Jesus Christ will be the job that you do in the workplace as you honor Jesus Christ with your mouth, with your actions, as people watch your life, as you tell everyone and teach many and train some and equip a few, and as you model the life of Christ, Jesus Christ will use you there. I want you to take that 3x5 card that you have, write out a prayer request if you haven't done it. There's not many people that will offer to pray for you without you paying them, and you don't have to pay me a thing to do it. I'll do it the next 60 days. You write out a prayer request and say, Kent, tell me what it really is, what you're really bugged about. Put your name and address on the other side. You can hand it to me personally, or you can set it right up here. And I'll commit to pray for you for the next 60 to 90 days. And please come by and take one of these books that my wife and I have written and take two or three of these cassettes or whatever so I don't have to carry them home. And I won't feel bad that I brought them all the way down here and couldn't give them away. And so if you'll do that, I'll be pleased. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, what a great group. God, what a great group. What a great God you are. That you care about each man and each woman that's here tonight. And Lord, I'm looking forward for these men and women with new excitement and anticipation to join some of us older folks out in the workplace, Father, that we might be salt and light for the person of Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, would you equip them here at this BSU and on this college campus and in their families and in relationships? And Lord, would you equip them and encourage them that they can join me and others out in the workplace, that Lord, that we could be lights in a darkened world. And Father, would you equip them in your word and would you empower them with the Holy Spirit? And Lord, would you draw men and women out of this room tonight that would lead companies and that would lead cities and Lord, that would lead communities and Lord, that would lead churches and Lord, that would lead mission efforts across the world. And Lord, would you draw up these leaders tonight Would you bring these men and women with a heart for you, Lord? Would you identify them? Would you call them out? And would you bring them out so that 5 years and 10 years and 15 years from now, we can be joining together, Lord, as I get older, Lord, that new people could come out there. And Lord, as I'm 70 or 75 or 80 years of age, Lord, may these men and women just continue to cheer us on to be men and women of the gospel to finish well. Lord, would you pick out of this group tonight men and women that have a heart for you to help change the world for Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.